Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Gad Dishi, and together we're studying Sefer Melachim.
Perek Zayin, ve'et beto bana Shlomo 13 shana v'ichal et kol beto. And Shlomo built his home, the palace, in 13 years, and he completed the building of his home. Some would like to see that the 13 years invested in Shlomo's palace is to Shlomo's detriment, and that in comparison to the Beit HaMikdash, which only took 7 years, Shlomo's palace was much more intricate, much more lavish, and therefore took longer time. And other people like to learn this to Shlomo's benefit, which is that Shlomo took 13 years to build his own palace. He wasn't in a rush. And in the meantime, he built Beit HaMikdash in 7 years in a steady pace and was able to complete the project quickly. It's not clear whether or not 7 of the 13 years of Shlomo's palace building overlapped, or any part of it overlapped with the 7 years of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It's not clear if there's a date in regards to the ending of the building of the palace. In either case, the amount of time can be learned out in either direction. But even at Beit Ya'ar HaLebanon, 100 amma orko, 50 amma rochbo, 30 amma komato, al arba'a ture amude arazim, uchrutot arazim al ha'amudim. And so he built the house which is called Ya'ar Lebanon, the forest of the Lebanon, the home of the cedar. So it's supposed to look like a forest. We'll get to that in a minute. And it's a 100 amot long and 50 amot wide and 30 amot tall. And these midot, these measurements are in comparison to Beit HaMikdash, the same height, but this structure is larger than the one of the Beit HaMikdash. And this building was established al arba'a ture amude arazim. There were four pillars of cedar, uchrutot arazim al ha'amudim. And on these pillars, they had other cedar that were just cut, freshly cut, not designed, and they were placed on top of these pillars. V'safun ba'erez mimal al atzraot asher al ha'amudim 45 hatur. And apparently, not very clear this pasuk, but they were covered with further cedars on top of the ones that were we just read about that were on top of the pillars, and there were 45 of these, 15 per row, which means there were three rows that were perhaps crisscrossed between the amudim and the ones that we're talking about now that were placed on top. So you had the original pillars, you had the raw cedars that were placed horizontally upon them, and then we have another layer of cedar which was on top of those in the opposite direction. Ushkufim shalosha turim umecheza el mecheza shalosh pe'amim. Now I'm going to be working with Rabbi Israel's understanding of what the effect is we're trying to get here. We have windows, or perhaps mirrors, that we're dealing with here. There are three rows of these windows, and the three mirrors are placed directly opposite of each other. Now, these are gigantic, gigantic mirrors, and they are, it's not clear if they're floor to ceiling, but they are tremendous. And there are three of them, and from one end to the other, v'chol ha'petachim v'hamezuzot revu'im shakef umul mecheza al mecheza shalosh pe'amim. And all of the entryways and the sides of the entryways are fourfold. Now, either there are four of them, four windows, or there are four little windows or doors within each of these entryways. And they are also opposite of the mirrors, again, three times over, meaning there's on each side of this rectangular structure, there are tremendous windows and mirrors that are placed opposite one another. Ve'et ulam ha'amudim asa 50 amma orko u 30 amma rochbo ve'ulam al penehem Ba'amudim ve'av al pinehim. And the this structure, similar to the Beit HaMikdash, has an entranceway, a large foyer, which, similar to the Beit HaMikdash, when we describe the length, it really means it's along the width, the same width as the initial structure, 50 amot, and then you have 30 amah as its width, which is the continuation of the length of the original building. And this ulam is to the east, al pinahim, meaning to the east. And then there are amudim, just like we have in the Beit HaMikdash, there are these amudim that we'll talk about soon, the Yachinu Boaz, and they're outside, they're also to the east, ve'av al pinahim, meaning that on top of these two pillars that are outside the initial entryway, they have a beam that runs across the two columns, and all of this is to the east. It's the entrance way, the way you walk in. And according to Rabbi Israel, basically what we're able to achieve with all of these mirrors facing one another and reflecting back all of the cedars that are going to be involved here, we actually get this effect of establishing a lot of more depth. And that while you're in this structure, in this room, in this chatzer, you are feeling that there's an endless amount of trees and that you are actually in a forest and there's no end. It would be a great place for kids to play, a haunted house or a similar thing, or a maze, to try to find their way in and out of this building without running into all these mirrors. But this is the type of effect that the grandeur of the Bet Yara Levanon, it's a spectacle. It's something that people would, an attraction that when people would come to visit Shlomo, would certainly be impressed by, when they come to visit. Ve'ulam ha-kiseh asher ishpot sham, ulam ha-mishpat asa, ve'safun ba'erez mehakarka ad hakarka. And he established a throne from where he would issue judgment, and this ulam, he made the Ulam HaMishpat, and it was covered with cedars from the floor until the floor, meaning, carpet, the wall-to-wall carpeting. This is wall-to-wall cedars, and if we try to get an understanding of what kind of a throne, if people remember their last trip to Washington, D.C., if they remember the Lincoln Memorial, so you walk into this building, very impressive building, there are columns, you walk in and further, and then you get to the actual place where the memorial is, and you see Abraham Lincoln on his chair, and similar type of an idea of Shlomo HaMelech on his lehavdil, on his throne, on the inner chambers of the building that has all of these columns and this tremendous amount of cedars, a very impressive building, and if you walk in for judgment, certainly awesome sight to see, and ominous for receiving your judgment. Ubeito asher yashev sham chatzer ha'acheret mibet la'ulam kama'aseh hazeh haya ubayit ya'aseh levat paro asher lakach Shlomo ka'ulam hazeh. And similarly, where Shlomo lived, he made another chatzer that also had outside of it a ulam, similar to the way he did here. And he will also later make a home similar to this for Bat Paro that he married. And he's also going to have a house for her where it also will have an ulam. So they're explaining that this is exactly the type of building structure that is going on. Pasuk Tet, kol ele avanim mekarot kemidot gazit megorarot b'megira mibayit u'michutz u'mimasad ad atfachot u'michutz ad echatzer agdola. All of these stones that were used for this building were very heavy. Yekarot really meaning heavy. They also are precious because they're hard to come by, but they're very heavy, and they all have the measurement of the gazit, which was some standard measure of how to build the so to speak the bricks. But these gigantic stones had this measurement of the gazit, and they were already worked on before so that they would be smooth on the inside and on the outside, and from the bottom until the top, and from the outside until all the way to the end of the chatzer. Umiyusad avanim yekarot, avanim gedolot, avne eser amot ve'avne shmoneh amot. And on the foundations, they also used these very heavy, very big stones, which apparently was not the usual way of building. It was an extreme expense to be able to do that. But nothing was spared in regards to building the palace of Shlomo. And these stones are 10 amot by 8 amot, which are huge stones. Umilmala abanim yikarot kemidot gazit va'arez. And on top of these heavy stones, they had other stones that were laid across them. And they were also heavy, but they were of the midah of the gazit. And they were also covered with eretz, so with the cedar. So you have the foundation stones, you have a layer of stone, and then a layer of cedar. V'chatzer ha'gedola saviv, shelosha turim gazit, v'tur kerutot arazim, v'lechatzar bet Adonai ha'pinimit, ululam ha'bayit. And the outside chatzer that was around this structure was also three columns of gazit stone, followed by a column of cut cedar, similar to what we had in the Beit HaMikdash. Again, both for aesthetic value and for some architectural ability, for some flexibility. He did this similarly for the chatzer of Beit HaMikdash, of the inner chatzer, and for the ulam of the bayit.
וישלח המלך שלמה ויקח את חירם מצור. And Shlomo HaMelech sent and for the fellow named Hiram from Tzor, you know, Tyre, which is to the north of Eretz Israel. Benisha almanahu mimate Naftali, ve'aviv ish Sori horesh nechoshet. Ve'imale et hachokma ve'et hatemuna ve'et hadat la'asot kol melacha b'nechoshet. And this fellow was the son of a widowed woman, and from the tribe of Naphtali. Now, when we take the corresponding section in Devarei HaYamim, the woman was really from Bnei Dan, and the father was from Naphtali. And that's why this person is Mimate Naphtali, meaning that they are going according to their father's Shevet, Naphtali. V'aviv ish Sori horesh nechoshet. And his father was a person who lived in Sor, who was busy working in copper, was Choresh Nechoshet, that's his line of work. And he was there apparently because he was an expert in making copper, and that was the specialty in Sor. So even though we have a blossoming kingdom under the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, we still have people from Eretz Yisrael going to Sor, and there's peace treaties, and everyone's having an international commerce affairs, and everyone's going from place to place. Now, this fellow was living in Sor. Other people want to say that really Aviv here refers to his major domo, his teacher, was the person who was from Sor, and that's why he hung out there to learn from him how to make all the wonderful things he's going to be able to do in Nechoshet with copper for the Beit HaMikdash. And that's why Shlomo wants him, and Hashem filled him with the wisdom and the knowledge of, and the craftsmanship to do everything that needed to be done with copper. He was the expert. And the language is very reminiscent of the language used for Bezalel and Aholiab in regards to the Mishkan. Here it's only in regards to Nechoshet. And he came to King Shlomo, and he did all of his work that needed to be done. And here's what he did. Vayatzar et shnei ha'amudim nechoshet. Now there's going to be these two pillars at the entranceway to the Hechal, which is to the eastern side of the Hechal in the entryway. Shemona esrei amma komat ha'amud ha'ehad. Each one of the pillars was 18 amot high. Vehut shtem esrei amma yasov et ha'amud hasheni. And the circumference was 12 amot, and it says here that it would surround the second column, meaning that each one of the two columns had the same circumference of 12 amot. Ushte kotarot asa latet al ashe ha'amudim mutzach nechoshet hamesh amot komata koteret ha'ehat v'hamesh amot komata koteret ha'shenit. And each one of these pillars also had a crown on the top of the pillar, which was made from Nechoshet, obviously, this is his job. And it is 5 amot tall, just the koteret, just the crown, which is on each one of these pillars. Sevachim ma'ase sevacha, gedilim ma'ase sharsherot, lakotarot asher arosh ha'amudim, shiv'a lakoteret ha'ehat, v'shiv'a lakoteret ha'shenit. And
had fancy lattice work, which looked like it was svach, like svach, also interchangeable with the samech in regards to a intricate, sophisticated lattice work that looked like intertwining branches. Strings that were looked like ropes that are also like chains that are interlocked, interwoven, which are on or near or for the crowns of each one of the tops of these columns, seven on each one of the crowns. That took a lot of work to figure out. If you're not getting a complete picture, it's not that clear, but there are seven of these chains on each one of the crowns that are on each of the pillars. Vayaras et ha'amudim. And he was completing the work on the pillars. Ushne turim saviv ala sevecha ha'achat ha'echat lechasot et ha'kotarot asher arosh harimonim. Whatever he's doing to one column, he's doing to the other. Here, the pasuk is a little bit ambiguous. He's making on the top part of these crowns two rows of on top or in front of the lattice work, which are covering the tops of the crowns. And it says here, "Asher arosh harimonim." It probably is similar to saying "arosh ha'amudim." It's at the top of the pillars that he had these things, or you could say that it's the top of the rimonim. We're about to get to them in a moment. And that's what he did to the other pillar as well. And out of the five amot that these crowns were on the top of the pillars, four amot worth had this fancy flowering effect, similar to what we saw in the ulam in the hechal. V'chotarot al shnei ha'amudim gam ima mele'umat ha'beten asher le'ever ha'sevacha v'harimonim mataim turim saviv al ha'koteret ha'shenit. And on these crowns, which are on these two pillars, even from the part of the crown where it begins to get wider and going all the way up to the lattice work, we have 200 rimonim, and that's the rimonim that maybe we referred to at the end of Pasuk Yudchet. There were 200 rimonim in the two rows, and those are the rows maybe that we were referring to in Pasuk Yudchet. Two rows of 200 rimonim each, on each one of the two crowns. Even though it says ala koteret hashanit, it's one per koteret. So we have two. We have a crown of five amot. Four amot have flowery looking things at it. The top ama has these two rows of rimonim, and on those they have these seven string looking things dangling down or interwoven, very fancy lattice work. Vayakem et ha'amudim le'ulam ha'echal. ויקם את עמוד הימני ויקרא את שמו יכין ויקם את עמוד השמאלי ויקרא את שמו בועז. And he established or set up these two pillars for the entryway of the Hechal, and he put up the one on the right, the southern one, and he named it Yachin, and he made he named this the left one, the northern one, which is Boaz. And again, these names have significance. Yachin is to establish, that the house of God should be established, and Boaz is a in it is strength. Inside this, these pillars or inside the house of God should be strong, the house should be well established. And similarly in Megillat Rut, all the names are also metaphors, and Professor Garcia also has many of these pointed out, and others as well, but that the theme in Megillat Rut surrounds many of the names, whether it's Orpah, Rut, Boaz, all of them have significance. And here the word Boaz explains to us also that it has the significance beyond a proper name, but it has the idea of in it is strength. V'arosh ha'amudim ma'aseh shoshan v'titom melechet ha'amudim. And on the top of these amudim, they have also additional flowery lattice work. V'titom melechet ha'amudim. And we've come to the end of putting together the amudim. And it took a long time. V'yas et hayam mutzak. And then he made a bathing area, a pool, which was cast. Eser ba'ama misfato ad sfato agol saviv v'chamesh ba'ama komato v'kav shloshim ba'ama yasov oto saviv. And this pool had 10 amot as a diameter of the circle, and it was 5 amot tall, and it was a 30 amma in diameter pool. Ufkaim mitachat lesfato saviv sovevim oto eser ba'amma makifim et hayam saviv shnei tulim hapekaim yetzukim biyitzikato. And there were, perhaps these are pictures or designs of budding flowers. They're underneath the upper ridge that are around the circle. 10 amot going around the pool. And there's two rows of these designs, which are embedded in the casting of the copper. It wasn't something that was added on, but it was part of the molding, part of the actual structure itself. Omed al shnei asar bakar, shelosha ponim safona, shelosha ponim yama, shelosha ponim negba, shelosha ponim mizracha, vehayam alehem lemala, v'chol acholehem baita. And we have 12 different copper-casted bakar, cattle, three facing each of the directions, with their backs all towards each other. In other words, the fronts of the cattle, the heads, are all facing outwards, and all of their behinds are to each other, and therefore they're not seen, which is more mechubad for the mikdash. And on top of all of these copper-casted cattle, it's as if they are carrying the pool, and it's placed on top of their backs, so to speak, even though they're not animate, they're inanimate. And they are the ones that are designing as the holding of this pool. Ve'ovyo tefach usfato kemaseh sfat kos perach shushan alpaim bat yachil. And the thickness of this pool was a tefach, a hand breadth, and the ridge was as if it was a drinking glass that has some type of opening or budding flower effect, that it gets wider towards the top, like a kiddush cup. Alpaim bat yachil. It has 2,000 bats, whatever those are. That's the measure of the water that it can hold. It's a tremendous amount of water. In the Devarei Hayamim, we understand that it's for the Kohanim to dip it, not just to wash up, but to be able to dunk.
V'yaseh temechonot eser nechoshet. Arba ba'ama orech hamechona ha'echat, ve'arba ba'ama rochba, ve'shalosh ba'ama komata. And Shlomo HaMelech made 10 copper mechonot. Mechonot, we think, are machines, but for here, a machon has the language of kan, is a base. So these are going to become mobile bases for the basins, the sinks that they're using for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, or kiddush yadayim of the kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. And the measurements that he has for these complex machines that are made from copper are arba amot long, arba amot wide, and 3 amot tall. V'zeh ma'aseh ha'mechona. And this is how the mechona looks, or was made. Mizgerot lahem. They have their sides, they have the panels. U'mizgerot ben hashlabim. And these panels are in between rungs. V'ala mizgerot asher ben hashlabim, arayot bakar u'chruvim. V'ala shlabim ken mima'al. And on these panels that are in between the rungs, we have pictures of lions, of cattle, and kruvim, the winged angels, the winged cattle, the winged babies. And similarly, on the rungs that are above them, they have these engravings on them. Umitachat la'arayot v'labakar loyot ma'aseh morad. And underneath the panels that have all of these designs on them of the lions and the cattle, there are loyot. Now, loyot is a word that is not easily translatable. Some believe that loyot are designs of leaves, of branches. Others say that it's a figure of intertwining figures, whether a man and a woman. But it is some decorative element. Ma'aseh morad, which is made by fashioning, by redida, by hammering the metal into a shape. Ve'arba'a ofanei nechoshet la'mechona ha'achat. And each one of these little carts that was carrying a basin had four copper wheels. V'sarnei nechoshet, and they had a copper axis. V'arba'a pa'amotav ketefot lahem. And on the four corners, the four sides, they had a pointed edge on the corners. Mitachat lakiyor haktefot yitzukot, me'ever ish loyot. And these corners were the pedestals for where the inner basin that was attached to this mobile base was going to hold the actual wash basin. So we have a cart that's rectangular, and we have these four corners that's going to hold a curved basin, like pedestals of the of a salad, a round salad bowl, or things like that. Haktefot yetzukot, and these four corners that are holding up the washing basin or the base of the basin are formed together with the actual cart. It's one piece. Me'ever ish loyot, and opposite from one another, or rather on the side facing people, there are loyot. Again, the same loyot that we didn't know what they were before, they have them here again, this decorative element. Ufihu mibet lakoteret v'mala ba'ama ufiha agol ma'asechen ama v'chatsi ha'ama v'gam al piha miklaot u'mizgirotehem rubaot lo agulot. And the ridge of the mibet lakoteret, the ridge, the inner ridge of the crowning top of this movable base for the wash basins. It's one amma high, and it's round, and it is similar to the base. It's 1.5 amot. And even on these, on this ridge, you have the decorative elements of embroidery, braided elements, and they are square, not round, meaning that the base that it's being held on is square.
Pasuk Lamed. Ve'arba'a ofanei nechoshet la'mechona ha'achat, and each one of the basin carriers had four wheels. V'sarnei nechoshet v'arba pa'amotav ketefot lahem, and the four wheels, they were connected with also copper axles. And on the four corners, the pa'amotav here, I mean pinotav, the four corners on the top have ktefot, have shoulders, meaning there's corners that are sticking up on each of the four corners. Mitachat lakiyor haktefot yetzukot, and they are part of the apparatus that's going to be holding the sink that we're going to be placing on top. And they are crafted and molded together with the actual device, the base. Me'ever ish loyot. And the side that's facing people, that people can see on the outside, those corners, also have loyot. And again, whatever loyot meant earlier, again, we have the same issue here, but it's some decorative element that's seen from the people looking at the finished kior on top of the mechona. Ufihu mibet lakoteret v'mala ba'ama ufiha agol ma'asechen ama v'chatsi ha'ama. Now this pasuk is very difficult, and it goes together with pasuk lamed hey. We'll do the best that we can to explain it. We're looking basically at something that looks like a billiards chalking cube, where the inner part is curved and circular, and the outer part is square. And so ufiha, the mouth, if you can envision someone's mouth wide open to receive something on it, if someone put like a tennis ball on their mouth, so the mouth is opened. Mibet lakoteret, the inside part of the koteret, of the upper part of this crown, which is what they're referring to, this cube-looking thing. V'mala ba'amma. It is one amma. It's not clear whether it's one amma in terms of the inner circle, the bottom of the circular curved part of the billiards cube, or whether or not we're dealing with height, that it, the curve from the bottom to the top is an amma. Ufiha agol ma'asechen. And the top part of this mouth, when it opens, meaning the top part of the circle, ma'asechen, it's going to be receptacle of the base. It is the base. It's going to be a base for the sink. Amma v'chatzi ha'amma, it is 1.5 amot. And it seems to be that this is a reference to the diameter. So the sink is going to be, the base of the sink is only going to be inside the mechona, and some of the sink will probably be protruding outwards and or upwards when they place it on there. Begam al piha, and also on the ridges of this top part, meaning the square remains around the curve, are also designed with miklaot, things that are braided, umisgirotehem, mirubaot lo agulot, and their sides are square, not round, which is what we explained in regards to the chalk cube. Thank God for that analogy. Ve'arba'at ha'ofanim le'mitachat ha'mizgerot, and the four wheels that are underneath the panels. Vidot ha'ofanim ba'mechona, and the spokes of the wheels are in the mechona, meaning they're either attached to the mechona or they're molded together with the mechona. They're meant to be very sturdy. We'll discuss that in a moment. Bekomat ha'ofan ha'echad amma v'chatzi ha'amma, and the height of each wheel is 1.5 amot. It's not clear whether or not the height of the wheels, presumably half of the wheel, is in addition to the 3 amot that were stated below or above in regards to how tall the mechona was. But ostensibly, at the end of the day, the top height of the mechona should probably be lower than the height of the yam, which is the main reservoir where the water for these kiyorim are going to come from. It'll be easier to have them pour out either with a spigot or a faucet or somehow from the yam into the kiyorim. We should take a moment just to make mention about this idea of how the yam and the kiyorim interfaced. The Yam is the obviously larger body of water. It has Alpayim Bat, and the idea of the Yam that's on top of those copper bowls are basically also looks like a drum. It's not a curved receptacle, it's like a drum. Otherwise, all of the measurements don't work out. And Alpayim Bat, after looking it up, those Alpayim Bats can register anywhere from around 37,000 liters to 86,000 liters of water. And so we have a tremendous amount of water, and it's very heavy, and it's going to need to be carried by those 12 oxen, so they're going to be definitely having a lot of weight on them. And these kiorim as well are going to be very heavy. Soon we'll see how big the kiores are going to be having. Arba'im bat is going to have 2% of the yam. How did they get water to fill all of this is an interesting question in and of itself. The Rambam writes that they got it from Ein Eitam, but Ein Eitam is usually dated to the times of the Chashmonaim. The Mayanot that are more familiar in the times of Shlomo are the Gichon and En Rogel. Still not clear exactly, or no evidence that I was able to see in regards to how all the water did get into the yam. Maybe there was some type of a mechanism for the ta'alot, something that was able to bring the waters to the mikdash, and that was the way that they filled the yam. And from the yam, they filled these kiorim that are going to be sitting on these mechonot. Now, the mechonot, like we said, they're going to be holding a lot of water. They need to be very sturdy. And so the idea of the squareness around the circular parts is, again, to add some stability And that's why they keep emphasizing that everything is mutzak, everything is molded together, it's one piece, because things are not going to be falling apart under the weight that they're going to be holding. Umaaseh ha'ofanim kema'aseh ofan ha'merkava. And the way they made the wheels, they made them as if they're making wheels for chariots, which is going to hold, holding a lot of people on it. Yedotam v'gabehem v'chishukehem v'chishurehem hakol mutzak. Everything was molded into the base carrier, to the sink carrier. Whether it was the wheels and all aspects of the wheel and its spokes, and its the actual part of the wheel that rolls on the floor, or the outer circle of the wheel that holds the spokes, or the inner circle that holds the spokes towards the center, hakol mutzak, all one piece. The wheels are not going to be breaking apart. They're all one piece. Ve'arba ktefot el arba pinot ha'mechona ha'echat min ha'mechona ktefeha. And the four corners that we talked about before that make this look a little bit like the Mizbach HaKetoret, with the karnot sticking out on the corners, that they're going to be holding the sink. Those two are made together with the Mechona at once. Ubrosh HaMechona, this is the pasuk that is difficult to drive together with Lamed Aleph, but Ubrosh HaMechona Chatzi Ha'ama Koma Agol Saviv Ve'arosh HaMechona Yedoteha Umizgiroteha Mimena. And on the top, after we've already finished this chalk cube, there is a circular ridge, and it's not clear whether it's around the inner circle or around the square part of what we described earlier. I would presume it's on the square part. It rises for half an amma, a circular structure, like a type of a mechitza. Ve'al rosh ha'mechona, Yedoteha umezgiroteha mimena. And also on the top there, the whether it be the handles or the spokes and its panels, everything is one piece coming together. Vayfatach al haluchot yedoteha ve'al mezgiroteha kiruvim arayot v'timorot kemar ish v'layot saviv. And he engraved onto the panels, whether it be the spokes or designs of spokes, or it's in regards to handles, as well as the designs of the kruvim and the arayot and the timorot of the lions, the cherubs and the palm trees. Kemar ish v'layot saviv. Now, kemar ish is either regarding the spaces that were blank, that were empty, they were filled with these designs, or Kemar Ish, referring to the male organ, that the Tamar tree had some aspect that looked like the male organ, Veloyot Zaviv, again, the intertwining of male and female, or in regards to some intricate design, these are all decorated around the Mechona. Kazot asa et eser ha-mechonot. This is how he made all 10 of the basin carriers. Mutzak echad. They're all in one molding. Mida ahat ketzef echad lekulana. And he made them all the same exact size. He made them all the same exact weight. And if you do have a mold that can create this type of a machine, so obviously once you fill the mold once and you do it 10 times, they're all going to come out exactly the same. Vayas asara kiyorot nechoshet. And he made 10 sinks, 10 basins of copper. Arba'im bat yachil hakiyor ha'echad. Each one held 40 bat, and the bats range in measurements and different opinions in the hachamim between about 25 liters, or down to 21 liters, or even 43 liters for the Chazon Ish. Varying amounts of water. Either case, even according to the lightest one, it's still very heavy. And the Hakiyor Hechad, Arba Ba'ama Hakiyor Hechad, every one of the kiyors were 4 amot. Kiyor, presumably in diameter, which is going to fit on the mechona. Right, we literally designed the mechona in Pasuk Chavav, and similarly we had the idea of the diameter and the circumferences proportioned in the yam. I guess another point in regards to circumferences and diameters, we had in Pasuk Chav Gimel the diameter being 10 amot and the circumference being 30 amot, and this would seem to be either a rounding off or some type of inability to describe textually the value of pi, because we know that if we want to use the correct formula for calculating the circumference, so we have to have a 2 pi r, and here r, the radius, is going to be 5 because the diameter was 10 for the yam, and therefore it should have been a diameter of 31.4159, etc. You know, I think now last October, they in 2014, they managed to break the record and come up with the correct value of pi, correct to 13.3 trillion decimal places, breaking the former 12 trillion record. But here, we're just rounding off, and that's why the circumference is 30 in Pasuk Chaf Gimel for the Yam. But once we're dealing now with the Kiyor and the Mechona, to remember, was 4 amot long and 4 amot wide, and that's going to be receiving the Kiyor, which seems to be 4 amot in diameter. And he put one Kiyor on each one of the Mechonas, of the basin holders, for all 10 of them. So he has 10 sinks for 10 sink holders. And he put 5 of them on the right side and 5 on the left side. Ve'tayam, and the main body of water, Natan miketef habayit haymanit kedma mimul negev. And he put the main body of water, the pool, on the right side, kedma, east, which is opposite south. Now, how does that work? Well, because if you're walking in to the Mikdash, you're walking in to the east, and on your right side is basically the north, and the left side is the south. So the Yam is on the right side when you walk in, but it's opposite the south. Okay, that was the hard part. Now let's see if we can summarize the things that we've talked about. Vayas Chiram et ha-kiyorot ve'et ha-ya'im ve'et ha-mezakot. And Chiram did made all of the kiyorot and all of the ya'im. And the ya'im are also part of the kelim that are being used in the Mikdash. Ve'et ha-mezrakot, the things that are used to throw the blood. Vaychal Chiram la'asot et kol ha-melacha asher asal ha-melech Shlomo bet Adonai. And now a summary, Pasuk Mem. Vayas Hiram, Hiram, et ha-kiyorot, ve'et ha-ya'im, ve'et ha-mezrakot. Vayichal Hiram, la'asot et kol ha-melacha, asher asal ha-melech Shlomo bet Adonai. And Hiram, or Hiram, finished making all of the kiyorot, the sinks, and the ya'im, which is some type of a raking instrument to take away the deshen, ve'et ha-mezrakot, the things used to throw the blood. He finished all the work that he had to do for Shasala Melech Shlomo Bet Adonai, for the work he was commissioned to do for the Bet HaMikdash. Amudim Shinaim. And here's the summary again. He made the two columns that we talked about before. Begulot HaKotarot Asher HaRosh HaAmudim Shtayim. And those very fancy crowning elements on the top of each of the pillars. VeHasevachot Shtayim Lechasot Shtei Gulot HaKotarot Asher HaRosh HaAmudim. And the two fancy lattice pieces that were covering the tops, the rounded parts of the crowning elements on the top of the amudim, ve'et ha-limonim, 400 b'shtei ha-sevachot, shnei turim limonim la-sevacha ha-echat, v'chasot shtei gulot ha-kotarot, asher al pnei ha-amudim, and he made altogether the 400 rimonim that were covering or involved with the two latticeware designs on the top of the amudim, the two rows in each of the pillars, each one altogether 200 per pillar, he made those. Veta mechonot aser, he made the 10 basin carriers. Veta kiorot asara ala mechonot, and he made the 10 sinks that went on the basin carriers. Veta yam hayachad, he made the yam, the big reservoir of the water. Veta bakar shenem asara tachat hayam, and the 12 copper calves that are holding the massive amount of water in the reservoir. Veta hasirot, veta yaim, veta mizrakot, veta kol hakarim haele. And all of the pots and the rakes and the vessels to throw the blood from, all of the kelim that he made for the Melech Shlomo, for the Beit HaMikdash, were from Nechoshet Memorat, on a pure copper, strong copper, solid copper, something very praiseworthy. Bechikar ha-Yarden yitzakam ha-Melech b'ma'ave ha-Adama Ben Sukkot uben Saletan. And all of that craftsman work took place in the Jordan Valley, involving Ma'aveh Ha'adama, the thick soil. Apparently that's required, useful, I'm not familiar. Ben Sukkot uben Saletan, this place that in particular was between the cities of Sukkot and Saletan. Sukkot, usually identified with the Sukkot that Yaakov had named in Transjordan, and Saletan, also perhaps a little bit southern from Sukkot, again Transjordan. Other people want to say that it's somewhere in Har Ephraim, but it's a particular place in the Jordan Valley where originally we have the description in Sefer Bereshit where it's Kikar Yaden is Kula Mashke Lifnei Shachet Hashem Esedon Ve'et Amora Kegan Hashem. It's something that was a very lovely place, and therefore perhaps it was a better place to bring Hiram, to attract him to come do the work. And Shlomo HaMelech left or didn't make an accounting on any of all these kelim that were made because of the copper. There were so many different vessels that were made. He didn't even keep track. And Shlomo made all of the kelim for the Beit HaMikdash. Again, it's not Shlomo personally, but as opposed to Hiram, Shlomo made sure to take care of these pieces. Et mizbach ha-zahav, ve'et ha-shulchan asher alav lechem ha-panim, zahav. So the gold work is attributed to Shlomo, and Shlomo was the one who took care of the mizbach ha-zahav, and the shulchan ha-panim, also made out of gold, ve'et ha-menorot, chamesh mi-yamin ve'chamesh mi-simo lefnei ha-davir zahav sagur. And he made 5 menorot for the right and 5 menorot to the left. Again, perhaps because the area of the Beit HaMikdash was so much larger in volume than the Mishkan, either 12 times in volume or 10 times in volume, bigger than the Mishkan, so we needed additional menorot. And they were all made out of pure gold. Ve'haperach, ve'hanerot, ve'hamelchachayim zahav. And even the design elements of the menorah and the receptacles for the oil and the tweezers that they would be using to help adjust the wicks, all of those accoutrements of the menorah are all gold. V'hasipot v'hamzamerot v'hamizrakot v'hakapot v'hamachtot zahav sagur. And the sipot are either some type of a musical instrument that goes together with mezamerot. That's according to Rashi. Others want to explain the sipot to be kadim, types of pitchers, and the mezamerot are more of the scissor types of elements, the pruning elements. Or sipot could be related to sipim, vayanu amot hasipim, and related to pillars. But in any case, whatever it was, these elements in the mikdash, vehamizrakot, the things used to throw the blood, vehakapot, the spoons that were used for the levona, for the frankincense, v'machtot, zahav sagur, and the shovels, they were all made out of pure gold. V'hapotot ledaltot habayit ha-pinimi, lekodesh ha-kodashim, ledate habayit lahechal, zahav. And the potot, which are either the hinges, or they are the locks, or they are the bolts, they are something to do with the doors, that are in regards to the doors of the inner doors that we talked about that go to the Kodesh HaKodashim that ended up staying open because they were They wouldn't be able to be closed with the Aron once the Aron is already in Kodesh HaKodeshim. So the doors are perpetually open there. Ledalte HaBayit, LaHechal, also the doorways to the Hechal, the potot of those doors was Zahav, was made out of gold. So again, we have the idea of the grandeur that even hinges are made out of gold. Everything is shining and sparkling, which is also another explanation for memorat, about what kind of copper. The copper was sturdy, might have been also shining like gold, that it was similar to the gold experience. But Tishlam kol ha-melacha asher asah ha-melech Shlomo bet Adonai. And Shlomo completed all of the work, again, something akin to his name, a play on his name of Shalom, Shalem, that he was Mashlim, the Melacha, and it's not only the Melacha, perhaps of Beit HaMikdash, but also maybe some hearkening back to creation, that now we're finishing the work of creation, of bringing God's presence into the world through Beit HaMikdash. Vayaveh Shlomo et kodshe David Aviv, et ha-kesef, ve-et ha-zahav, ve-et ha-kelim, natan ve-otrot Beit Adonai. And Shlomo HaMelech, after he finished completing all the works, so he still had gold and silver and the vessels that were donated or set aside by David for the Beit HaMikdash that he had spare. And he put all of those in the coffers of the Beit HaMikdash that would later be able to be used for upkeep or for anything that needed to be taken care of for Beit HaMikdash, to be able to draw from that account. And so we have this perek, perhaps related to previous perakim, in the beginning of Melachim, in regards to idea of Chochmah, the idea of Chiram's special talents in regards to copper. He has Chochmah, Tevunah, and Da'at, something to join forces with Shlomo HaMelech in regards to being Vayechkam Mikol HaAdam. And so therefore this perhaps has that echo. And we also have the idea of David. We ended off the perek with David, and we also began the perek with the idea of Hiram sending tribute and messengers because he loved David, and he was telling Shlomo how much he had good relations with David. So again, we have perhaps another type of closure, whether it's chiastic or it's otherwise, but we definitely have some type of a frame for David being part of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and with the end of Perek Zayin, the technical parts of the grandeur of Beit HaMikdash are complete, and then we're going to be beginning Perek Chet, where we talk about the Tefillah of Shlomo, about how he envisions what the purpose of Beit HaMikdash is.